Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Killer Bees. And oh, by the way, PG-13 is here because of the fact that Jeremy Branham did not take our advice last night. He was doing the coach's show from the Acme Seafood place.
Oh.
And I said, well, you do know, because they always date me, I go, you do know that Wile E. Coyote got all his ammo from the Acme, and it never turned out well for him, and he kind of laughed it off, and then he had the oysters, and now he's not here today.
Oh, so we can confirm that the oysters are what kept him out.
I believe so. Patrick Creighton was texting him and I last night and this morning, and he said, I will save you the details, but my stomach isn't doing so good.
Oh, no. Tummy feeling
I hope
flummy.
It's just the tummy.
Well,
because,
it's not.
You know, normally when that kind of thing hits,
it, goes
it
both
doesn't
ways.
Just choose one area.
No, it does not. It is both ways, sir.
So this is the first time my good friend Paul Gallant and I are going to do a show.
It's
and
been so- forever. I mean, I used to be your sidekick when you were doing Rockets postgame way back in the day.
Yeah.
This was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But to officially do a show, I don't know that we ever
did
one of those. Yeah. And we played basketball together, and we've been friends for a long time. So good. I always said when you came back, it was good to have you in town, but now we actually get to do this.
It's great to be back. So thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, Brendan's still here, and he's very disappointed because his true bosom buddy is Jeremy, and Jeremy's out today. So
I want to be very clear here. I am a Paul fan. I'm good. Okay with today.
Good, because
But you're also,
that wouldn't be nice.
But no matter how big of a fan you are of Paul, I think that no one can trump take Jeremy off the pedestal.
Do you feel left out, Joel? Because I'm a big fan of you too.
No, I don't feel left out. I feel like it's just kind of how reality sometimes sets the table.
As
for you
dramatically put your glasses on.
I only put my glasses on.
For effect.
I don't feel left out. I'm just going to concentrate on what I'm here to do. So I'm going to run I'm going to quarterback today. I'm going to go back to the roots, and we're going to have some fun with plenty of stuff to talk about. But before we do any of that, anybody do anything fun last night? Because there wasn't football to speak of.
I watched all of Cobra Kai season 4.
Okay.
And it is a very good show for those who haven't seen. It is a TV show spinoff of the Karate Kid.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So good stuff. It goes by really quickly. And basically, I just finally finished decorating my apartment after moving here. So I actually can tolerate living in it, Joel. I do not do well with blank spaces on walls. It just drives me absolutely bonkers.
See, I don't call them gallant spaces, and you're going to call them blank spaces.
Blank spaces.
That's
T-Swift.
No, it's my last name.
Oh.
So this is interesting. Now, let me ask you something, because this is something that my good friend behind the glass there has had to deal with recently. As you get into apartment living and your experiences with apartment living and getting reestablished here in Houston, have you ever had issues that have become so major? Like, he's moved almost every year. I despise moving to where I could never do it. But then he's dealing with things like, and I've never even knew this was a thing, the electricity with the water in the shower was creating a shock. Like, for me, that's a lawsuit. That's a lawsuit. That's a potential, like, life-threatening issue. I'm not calling the maintenance guy. I'm calling a lawyer.
Yeah. You just tolerated that?
No, I mean, I went to maintenance 4 times before it got fixed. But eventually, what was happening is when I changed the temperature, I'd get shocked. And finally, on the 4th time, I was like, if it doesn't get fixed this time, I'm not coming to you next time.
I have dealt with the whole, you go see maintenance, and you go see maintenance again, and you go see maintenance again. And I'm not one to yell, because I feel like that doesn't generally get your problem done. I usually go and I just laugh and say, oh, well, yeah, cockroaches attacked my cat last night, or something like that. And generally, if you say it with enough of a smile on your face, eventually they'll take care of it. But right now, the place that I'm living at is having similar issues.
See, so. I think the key is always, and I was having a conversation with my buddy on the way here today about this as it relates to when we played sports, when we went to and even when you went to college. As much as you hear everybody today talk about, you know, going to get their master's and books, 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 books. At the end of the day, when I give advice to interns and kids, the bigger thing to me these days is no matter how much you know book smart wise, you don't pay enough attention to how important it is to like build a network of communications. Like, and that's where I would go with the maintenance guy. Like I would, yeah. I would take care of the maintenance dude. Like I would be like,
nice.
Yeah, if you want, if get him a six pack sometimes on top of like, if he helped fix something or something like that, next time you need something done, he's, even if there's six other people that have filled out requests, he will table those for you. If you just grease the wheel,
you're smart on that. My maintenance guy in Seattle was a Chiefs fan, and I used to have long conversations with him about the Kansas City Chiefs and specifically one Patrick Mahomes. Constant love fest.
Well, funny you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, because one of the things that we were going to get into today is the fact that when we were talking about how great of a weekend the divisional playoffs were, and maybe the greatest game of our lifetimes in what we saw between the Chiefs game. And the Bills, right?
Yeah.
But the one standout in the majority of the games was, you got to have a quarterback, right? You got to have that guy. And though the Niners maybe not have that guy, he did enough with everything that they had. The Texans don't even have that right now because with Deshaun's situation in limbo, we don't know. When you sit there and you look at where the Texans are as opposed to these teams that are still in the playoffs and what they've been able to achieve, does it make you that much more concerned about the fact it's not only that you're giving away the franchise quarterback in a trade eventually and it took you so long to get him, but that you don't know how long it's going to be, whether you have good draft picks or not, and you might, you know, get a top pick, but the guy might, you can Mitch Trubisky it as well as you can, right, Patrick Mahomes it, that you might swing and miss along the way, and how much that the Texans might be set back by the fact that once Deshaun walks out that door, you don't know when you're going to get your next QB.
I was depressed going into the weekend, Joel, because I looked at this weekend, and outside of Ryan Tannehill, who I think is not very good, right, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who clearly is limited as well, every single one of these teams has a quarterback that you could consider a top 10 guy. And you're exactly right. You don't know when you're going to be able to stumble into that guy again. Because guess what? You usually stumble into that quarterback. You know, usually that guy ends up falling into your lap, whether it's Russell Wilson, third round, Tom Brady, sixth round, Joe Montana, third round. That does not happen to you in a way where you're planning for it to happen. Yes, every now and then it does. You get lucky like the Colts did with Andrew Luck. But for the most part, you're going to find yourself in a situation when you're moving on from a quarterback where you are back at rock bottom. And considering the entirety of the Texans franchise history, Joel, this team never had a quarterback. They never went after a quarterback. They finally get one. The depressing realization that they are trying to get rid of Deshaun Watson for reasons that make a whole lot of sense sucks. It sucks. And it's something that you have to just kind of deal with because you know that's what's going to happen. There's a part of me, though, that wonders, Joel, if I'm the Texans, and I'm glad I don't have to make this decision, if you start having second thoughts watching this weekend and saying to yourself, well, maybe we should extend an olive branch, do it under the table. Is there a way that you can find...
And, Paulie, here's where I'm at with that, too. Like, you never say never. Aaron Rodgers was a goner after the offseason last year.
Remember the NFL draft?
Because of Brian Gutekunst, because of the fact that Schefter's already creating rumors to get clicks, and people are like, no matter what happens, it's over. Well, now you're hearing... They're unified in Green Bay. They want him back. He's saying it's night and day, and he's mended a ton of fences. So you never say never. That's what the Texans fans should look at. We said this about a week or two ago and said, hey, look, if it was Brian Flores, who supposedly had a good relationship with Deshaun and wanted him in Miami, if he becomes your next head coach, is there a chance? Because it is so vitally important. And to your point that you were mentioning, when you look at the draft, too, with all the success stories that have come out of that top five slot. But when you look at it, you could Trubisky it. Right?
Right.
You could Jordan Love it. You could trade up for a guy that's going to be the heir apparent. You could find out he's not so good. Or in the Jimmy G scenario, you could go get Trey Lance and you could spend a ton to get him. And now you're so scared to put him in late in the season because you've seen what no one else has seen and that he sucks in practice that you're like, oh God, what did we do? And now you're second guessing whether Jimmy G should go or not.
Right. And Jimmy G, for what it's worth, yes, he's going to have your two throws a game where he tries to turn it over, but usually he operates that Kyle Shanahan offense pretty well. I think also just looking at next season, do you feel with any conviction that Davis Mills is going to be ever Ryan Tannehill's level, ever Jimmy Garoppolo's level too? You know, thinking about next year, because that's your alternative, right?
Because but that's an interesting question, and I'm interested what the listeners would think about that. Do you think, because we've said, what's the ceiling for Davis Mills? Do you think, aside from having to get through next season, because we've all said, look, and I started the Embrace the Suck campaign this year, but I said it's got to carry over for one more. Whether you want to get Bryce Young or you just need to make sure no matter what you do with Deshaun, you have your own picks, you have to suck for one more year. So he's your guy.
Yeah.
But what is the ceiling? I said at the very high level that it's potentially Kirk Cousins. You know, and I said at the very low level, he's a backup to third string quarterback that never pans out and he doesn't end up lasting long in the league. So you've got a big kind of swing and lots of leeway in the middle, but you just don't know, right? So you don't think that even maybe Kirk Cousins is too high? Because
that might be too high, honestly. I think you've got to be realistic. And while this was a guy that was really thought highly of in high school and also going into maybe this year, so should he had stayed at Stanford or something like that, maybe we're talking about him as a first round quarterback in a quarterback class that doesn't seem to have a lot of really top of the shelf guys. I still just don't expect anything. You never expect anything with a quarterback. Like, if he surprises you, great. And there were some moments last year where you're like, oh, okay. I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. Seems yep. to have some poise back there. A little bit more mobile than you would think that he is. But the reality is, he's probably not going to be very good. You're probably going to be looking in another direction. And you found Deshaun Watson. I mean, you got a guy who is a stone-cold killer. Obviously, a bit entitled and perhaps a tad horny, to say the least, and needs a bonk or two. And that's at the best-case scenario.
Oh, he's sore. He's into making sure he takes care of his joints.
Oh boy. Yeah. Listen, move the massage side of it to the side. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is a guy who is entitled on that front. And I'll just leave it at,
sure.
I've talked to people. This is one of those things, though, where you don't have to make that decision. I don't have to make that decision. I'm glad I don't. Because if I were one of those people that was having to make that decision, I mean, I feel like I would say, well, I'm going to be the morally right person here. Because that would be on brand with everything I've done. You know, with guys like Joe Mixon or Tyreek Hill, bleep the hell out of the league, you know? Like,
hey, you know what? You get second chances. And a lot of people forget real quickly when you start performing on the field.
Mm-hmm, Michael Vick.
Right. And exactly. And so the thing is for all that he did good leading up to this bad, if and when he gets a chance to take the field again, if he starts to perform at a high level again, there is going to be a majority of the viewing public that just brushes aside all 22 counts.
Yeah, they will. They will. But it's a matter of, do you have the stones to see the long game, or are you so big into this word that you keep saying? And Joel, every time I hear it, I want to throw a chair, Bobby Knight style. Culture. Stop saying culture.
Yeah.
Can we stop saying culture? You fired a guy after 1 year.
You know? Not only that, but the locker room of culture you were trying to build was a bunch of guys that weren't going to be here the next year anyway.
Right.
So how much culture was there?
There wasn't a lot of culture. You guys act like there's culture. Sure. Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Well, we're just getting it started on the show. So let me hear what you have to think. Paulie and I are here. Brendan's here. We want to hear what you guys think. What's the ceiling on Davis Mills? How important is the quarterback? Is watching last weekend's games motivating you to think you might want to have second thoughts about watching Deshaun walk out that door? And should he get a coach that might want to have him stay in that door? We'll talk about all of that. You want to reach us, you can go to twitch.tv and you can get on the Twitch to the ESPN 97 and you can watch us there. If you want to text or call the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, so you can reach us that way. And you can also reach us on Twitter throughout the show. We'll continue the dialogue and see what you have to think. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about new brakes because I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Look, there's a new way to do brakes. And especially in Houston. And it's easy, it's painless, and the job is done the right way. All you do is go to nubrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com. Mention ESPN 97.5, save 10%. More than that, you're going to save time. Because if you're not aware of this, new brakes come to you to do what they do. So therefore, if you're at your job and you're checking your emails, you got meetings, you don't have time to have a couple hours to go to the brake shop. You don't have to. They come to you, you still do your job, and they take care of your car, do your brakes. All they do is brakes. That's they're trained technicians. They don't do anything but, and they take care of you in less than an hour. It's fantastic. The prices are competitive with any brake shop in town. You're not at the mercy of some mechanic that's going to take his own sweet time, and you don't have to sit in a shady waiting room with bad coffee and vending machine food watching soap operas. They take care of it so you can multitask and do other things. Go to newbrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, back on the Killer Bees, which is actually the Bee Gees today, because it's the Bees and the G of Paul Gallant filling in for Jeremy. So, yes, we're going to be staying alive for 3 hours, and whether you're a mother or whether you're a father, we will be staying alive.
Yeah.
And then other than that, the lyrics of the Bee Gees are indecipherable for most people.
I have no idea what they say.
Although Brendan is the closet disco fan. He does like to bump with this a lot.
I like this too. If this plays at a wedding, sorry, whoever I'm talking to, I am going to leave you and get out on the floor and boogie.
My dad had this album. And of all the like old school, like he was big band, he was the Brat Pack, he was all that stuff. But he would pull this one out from time to time and jam it out. And I'm a Bee Gees fan. I've already trained my kids early on in the car. I give them musical culture in the car. I will like randomly go from Justin Timberlake or like Jay-Z or something like that. And then I'll swing down into Stevie Wonder, the Bee Gees. And I was telling my sister, I was like, oh no, I'm doing what dad did to me. I'm going to give them, they don't realize this now, but they're going to have such a wide variety of musical taste when they get older because of me.
Here's a test question you should ask them, especially when it comes to the Bee Gees, because this was something that took me a really long time to figure out. I thought for sure that was a female band. For sure. For the longest time.
I can see that because of Barry's voice, yeah.
Right. So you should ask, do you think this is a lady group?
I will.
A man group? Honestly, yeah. I think you might get some interesting responses on that.
No doubt. And the thing is, and I, Brendan, I think this was while you right after you started doing the show, but I know at one point I brought it up because I'm a big documentary guy. And when I'm on the treadmill a lot, I get into the docs. Well, there's a documentary on the BG, on the making of the entire movie. Like, it was just a whim of a movie that some rich guy came up with. And they found Travolta because of Welcome Back, Kotter. And they knew that he was like a teen fad idol. And they started putting stuff together. Well, they sent all the information to different groups for the soundtrack. Well, they found the Bee Gees, who were like way out of the somewhere in Europe. And they were doing their thing. But they were randomly just doing clubs. And they weren't even sure they were going to keep doing it. Well, they got the idea they were doing this movie. And all of a sudden, they're like, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? A cassette tape arrives. They've already done like 3/4 of the movie. And so the producer the rich guy that is behind the whole thing, they're like, is it any good? So they started playing it because they had to get the actors to get acclimated to it and everything like that. And they're like, yeah, it seems pretty good. We can go with this. That cassette tape held 5 number ones on it when all was said and done.
5?
5 number ones came off of that cassette tape for the Bee Gees.
I didn't even know that many songs could fit on a cassette tape. And I used to rock cassette tape.
90-minute tapes, man. Okay. I used to dub a lot of, I steal a lot of music that way.
Era. Doing a little DJing behind the scenes?
A little bit here and there. Made some money in college being a mobile DJ. But nice. Yes, different story for a different time. All right, so we were getting into this quarterback discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Did the games this week, last weekend, motivate you even more to think about Deshaun Watson and possibly seeing if there's a way to get him to stay, and then how bad it could be if you don't, and how important the quarterback is, and then take it a step further than that as we get your comments on calls and Twitch and text. When you look at it too, all these teams are well coached. We know that as much as we can talk about from the Belichick tree, right, and you can speak to it better than most, the Belichick tree, when the branches fall, don't seem to have the same kind of prosperous fruit growing from it that they do when they're in New England.
Yeah.
But when you look at some of this new generation of McVay and LaFleur and Shanahan and all these type guys, you realize you got good quarterbacks, you got good coaches. Now, I'm going to tighten this up for you a little bit. If you had to choose one or the other, especially as it relates to the Texans, you can't have both. You're going to choose right now, you're going to get a great coach, or are you going to choose the quarterback?
I think it's harder to find a great coach than it is a great quarterback.
Do you?
I think that it's more important to have the good to great quarterback, but you know, some of those guys that you mentioned, Sean McVay and that Rams team, did they look really crisp in the second half of that game against the Bucs? Because I thought they were trying to puke it away. I mean, giving the ball over and over again to Cam Akers like he is Todd Gurley or something like that, what are you doing? He's not that good of a running back. You're going to let him fumble twice? So that was one thing I looked at. To LaFleur, who you mentioned, special teams are wretched. No Belichick team would be like that. And then I get to, you know, some of these other young coaches. Mike Vrabel, what are you doing? What are you doing on that 2-point conversion?
It's true.
You know,
what are you doing on some of your 4th down calls, too?
Yeah. So, I look, and I don't think those guys are bad coaches either. But I think, and, you know, Belichick lost his fastball this year, too. That team was a lot less crisp than you've seen in years past. But I always looked at it as Belichick is really, really smart, and everyone else is way, way beneath that. So if you have like this awesome, great coach, it's a lot harder to find than a great quarterback, because all these teams seem to have the same habits, bad clock management, etc. Things that you see team to team, even with guys that we consider to be good coaches.
Now, I can give you the flip side of that because you get the New England perspective. I'll give you the Green Bay perspective to look at coach versus player, and I'll tell you that our quarterback was so smart for so many years that he made Mike McCarthy look good, because Mike McCarthy did absolutely nothing, but he got all the credit for running the offense, calling the plays. But I can't tell you, I would say 90% of the plays he called, Rodgers changed it either at the line of scrimmage or once it got into the huddle. But it made Mike McCarthy so smart that he got credit for everything. They won a Super Bowl. They named a street after him in Green Bay. Oh, and it got him a massive deal in Dallas just to see the shortcomings he actually possessed.
Which you saw right away.
So that's why I'm saying we speak from both sides of this. You can see the coaching perspective. I can see the quarterback perspective.
I see the quarterback perspective, though, too, because obviously Tom Brady was there. And without Tom Brady, that's a totally different team, no matter how much credit or lack of credit you want to give to Bill Belichick along the way. So, look, I'm not saying quarterback isn't the most important thing. It is the most important thing. It is going to determine whether or not your team actually has a chance. But I think that if you're looking for this really sexy hire as a head coach for the Houston Texans going forward, guess what? You are definitely not going to find it. You might have a quarterback. If you're looking for a coach, what's the odds that you're going to find another Gary Kubiak, who was certainly not a bad coach? Or
at the time, though, he got slammed for a lot.
Right, and honestly, he should have been. He got that second little run that the Texans in 2011 and 2012, they looked good, but he probably didn't deserve to get there. Most coaches are mediocre, above average. You get the occasional good ones, and it depends on the situation they're with. I mean, are we talking about Andy Reid the way that we talk about him now if he never got with Patrick Mahomes? I think for the most part, coaches are largely interchangeable, but when you can find that one great one, holy crap, like it changes your franchise forever.
But I think even with Reid, look, with Alex Smith, with Andy Reid, they were a playoff team.
No,
they were a good team. But Patrick Mahomes elevated them to a Super Bowl team, maybe an all-time team in terms of what they can do. I think in a lot of ways, when you look at these quarterbacks, they have more leeway to elevate on the upside, right? You can get a good quarterback that can carry a bad coach. I give you Rodgers. You know, you can get a situation where you can take a team that's stuck in a rut like the Texans were forever, win the division, win a playoff game, but that's as far as it goes, and then all of a sudden get a guy that is agile and mobile and athletic and can run as well as he can pass, and suddenly you become a conference championship game / Super Bowl contending team,
right,
and it makes that big of a difference. I give the coach credit that he can move the needle, but I don't know that he can move it that far.
I understand what you're saying there. And yeah, I think for the most part, I mean, if you are really picky right now in this Texans coaching search, I would just tell you not to be. Because I feel like, look, the pickings are going to be slim because of their situation. I feel like, though, we're going to strongly react one way or another to whatever the Texans do just because that's what we do, right?
Yep.
Oh my God, they interviewed Josh McCown. What? Like, I look at that and I'm like, I mean, I'm not panicking over something like that. Ultimately, it's whether or not they are going to find that quarterback. I think for the most part, coaches are relatively interchangeable. And that's one of the other reasons why I don't mind the Caserio inside the headset talking to guys. You know, in baseball and basketball, things have changed where general managers seem to have a little bit more power than coaches. Why is that something that can't happen in the most stubborn sport that there is?
And there's so much to uncover there, because I would say this. I would say from the standpoint of getting a guy that has NFL experience as a head coach, it wouldn't have been very important if this was the first time go round for Nick Caserio, if he didn't swing and miss so badly with Culley, because Culley was your bridge guy. He was your puppet. He was your guy that takes all your bullets and he gets paid to do so. And then when the team actually shows potential, you get a true coach. Mm-hmm. Now you can't afford to do that for the second time. You've already spent enough of Cal's money on the swing and miss. Now you've got to get a guy that does both, carries you through the second year of the bridge and then starts carrying you to the next level. And that's why I've had such pushback on a guy like McCown, because I'm like, look, you can't afford another year of growing pains to the extent that you had to deal with Culley, and then expect that all of a sudden the light's going to go on, he's going to get it, and he's suddenly going to be the next Sean McVay.
That's fair, but not to sound ageist here, Culley's what, like 67
sure,
years old?
Sure.
Like, how were you really going to get better? No offense to all the older folks out there, but like at age 67, are you really learning new tricks? Is anyone picking up new habits?
Charlie's listening right now.
No, you're not. With Josh McCown, I mean, there's a lot to mold there. And Caserio can mold him how he wants. Now, I'm not advocating for the move necessarily. I'm just saying that when I just look at the way that you people discuss this coaching search. Oh, no one's going to want to take this job. Yeah, you're probably right. But I don't think that's the end of the world here.
I think that the other thing that I've been steadfast on when you look at it, too, is that there's no cap on how many guys you can interview. So just because you haven't interviewed a guy yet doesn't mean you can't still interview him unless it's a Bieniemy situation where you feel like you forced to do it, you never really wanted to do it, and you do it when it was far too late to make an impact anyway. But I think that because of the fact that you're talking about the money spent, the guy that didn't work out, and the fact that you're still there's still a fan base with expectations and are they're watching everything you do, that you've got to, whether it's the Patriots way guy or not, you've got to explore other avenues than just New England South.
Yeah.
You've got to explore the head coaches that have a different philosophy. You've got to explore different coaching trees.
I totally agree on that front. I mean, I watched that Patriots defense get picked apart by Josh Allen in that wild card game, and I thought to myself, yeah, I like hearing Jerod Mayo at press conferences. I enjoyed watching him doing New England area television shows talking about the Patriots. I feel like he's got some charisma. Nope, I don't want him. Yeah. I don't want anyone that's a part of that Patriots defensive staff. Though I feel a little less bad about how bad that defense looked after watching Josh Allen and that Bills offense be pretty successful, relatively, against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday night.
No doubt. All right, so we'll continue the conversation. Look, just to give you guys a little bit of an update, we're going to have Kelly Eco, the beat writer for the Rockets, for the Athletic. He's going to be in at 1:30.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be talking about, with the trade deadline right around the corner, we're going to be talking about John Wall. We're going to be talking about Eric Gordon and possibly Christian Wood on the block, and should they move them, and if so, where? And then we're going to have our good friend Howard Balzer, the Hall of Fame voter in the NFL, covers the Cardinals, covers the NFL, as we normally do in his weekly segment at 2:30. So we've got those guys coming up, as well as plenty of your conversation that we'd like to have you a part of. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch and Twitter. We are here. It's Paulie, it's Brendan, and it's myself, Joel, as we'll continue to roll on with the Killer Bees right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, back on the Bees. Second half hour of the program, as Jeremy is out ill today. We wish him the best, and hopefully he gets back soon. But in the meantime, my good friend Paul Gallant is in with me.
Yo.
And Brendan is behind the glass. And we have been carrying on some conversation as it relates to NFL, which is king in this state, as we know. But we were getting into the state of the Texans yet again. And we know with the coaching search ongoing, the questions abound. But then when you watch the games last weekend and see the quarterback play and see how great the quarterbacks were, especially when you start talking about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, that you start asking the question as a Texans fan. One, is it worth trying to salvage Deshaun Watson when you know that if you don't have one of those guys, the rebuild is going to be that much longer, it's going to be that much more painful, and the questions will keep continuing to come up about when are you going to find that guy, and how can you be so sure? So, because even now, we're looking at a Bryce Young, and everybody's got their finger pointed going, he's going to be the next generation of that guy. You don't know.
Right.
I mean, look at Mitch Trubisky.
Look at Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yes, small sample sizes. Trey Lance is another guy that's being scrutinized right now. And coming out of the program that he came out of, his last year he played one game, but everybody was convinced through workouts this was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
General managers get fired. Franchises get set back when you swing and miss on the sure thing. So when you look at it from a Texans perspective, it's twofold. It's, do you consider trying to do whatever's necessary, assuming Deshaun gets his mess cleared up off the field, and say whether it's Brian Flores or someone that he believes in, you work on, as you go forward out of this entire offseason and the debacle that was last year, do you work on the possible scenario of trying to bring him back? Find a way that he'll change his mind and you can make this work. Aaron Rodgers did it in Green Bay, at least for last season. And then when you start looking at it even bigger picture as they go through this coach's search, what's more important to you when you see the success of the young up-and-coming, really talented coaches in this league now and the quarterbacks that they have? If you had to choose one or the other, do you choose the coach or do you choose the quarterback?
If I'm in the situation that the Texans are in right now, knowing that I am at rock bottom from a PR perspective, is it really the worst thing in the world? If I make things worse, I am thinking long and hard about ways to make Deshaun Watson happy again. And maybe it can get to a point where, and look, the legal situation is the legal situation. At the very least, he is a creep, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
At the very least, who
needs a bunk.
Or who 20. Knew Lefties was more than a sandwich shop?
Yes. So I look at the situation and I say, can I find somebody that makes him happy? Because that was the problem before this. He didn't want to be here. It doesn't seem like they're going to get rid of Jack Easterby anytime soon based off of what we were hearing on the mothership from Nick Caserio. So what else can you do? Brian Flores would be the answer there. And Brian Flores seems to be somebody who also challenges authority. I don't know that Caserio necessarily wants that based off of everything we're hearing on the outside. But I think that is an option that you cannot rule out if you are in that position of power. And if you say culture to my face one more time, I will slap you. Like, shut up about culture. I don't want to hear the word culture again. You fired a coach after 1 year who seems like a very nice guy. Wasn't a very good coach, but he fired him after a year. Culture my ass.
Well, Brennan, can you make sure that Tyler says culture to Paul during the next break? Because I just want to see it. Here's where I'm at with all that, too. From a Caserio perspective, you have the golden parachute. You have a six-year deal where you are going to get paid no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. But it goes back to what we were talking about with some of the names we brought up in terms of from Joe Mixon, who's playing his ass off for the Bengals right now, to a Michael Vick who did just deplorable things with dogs, but it was forgotten about because when he came back, he could still play a little bit. When you look at it from a Nick Caserio perspective, from a general manager too, for all the shortcomings of Easterby still being around, of a Texans franchise that's been driven into the ground from Bill O'Brien and otherwise, can you find a soft landing spot and a soft spot in your heart to like Nick Caserio if he basically puts his ego in his back pocket and says, I'm not going to look for a Patriots way coach per se. I'm going to look for a coach that can build a relationship with Deshaun, already, obviously, ideally, already has one, and can possibly bring him back because I know that if winning cures all and I get Deshaun and we start winning again or he starts doing his thing, even if we win four games in a season, we're going to get people to jump on board going, we got our franchise quarterback back, and realize that that could be a game changer for him, his career, and this franchise. Because you know as well as I do, the waiting list is gone, the luster is gone, the whole, you know, everything revolves around the Texans philosophy is gone, and people are basically turning the corner and willing to take another team or crap on this franchise before they want to go to games or support this team.
Yeah, I think all of those things have to be noted. But I also just wonder from the perspective of a general manager, you can, one, try to revitalize something that you were not a part of, or you can build your own thing. You know, whether you're playing with Legos or playing Minecraft,
yeah, but
you want to build your own thing or do you want to build off of somebody else's thing? And I think that's not a factor that I think should be a problem. I think, Joel, that is something that for any general manager who comes into a situation like this, your ego's going to get in the way. You're going to be like, I want to do it my way. Because
you can
going
build
to be
your
my
own thing, right? But I'll give you, again, we go through past precedents in how we analyze these things. Sam Hinkie said, trust the process. He didn't last long enough to see it through. The process actually turned out pretty good. Better than what people even would expect
when
they were failing.
Some loser juice fermented along the way, though, because I think losing was acceptable after a while. And that's why someone like Jimmy Butler, who could have been the finishing piece, was like, screw this, I'm out.
Yeah, and they had a chance to even take it to a different level. But you got Embiid. Simmons, at least early on, looked good.
Right.
And it looked like the process was right. He didn't get a chance to see it. Even Rafael Stone said, don't judge me on the Harden trade till at least 2030. You won't have that long, bro. I hate to break it to you.
No, he won't.
But you know what? If it shows signs of not having any kind of advantage for the franchise, you're not going to survive this. Nick Caserio swings and misses on Cully. As much as he wants to do it his way, like you're saying, and has that ego, this could be career-changing and career-threatening for him if he doesn't get this hire right.
No doubt. But let me push back on him swinging and missing on Cully.
Okay.
To me, if it's swinging and missing, this is like you're at batting practice, and the guy who's throwing you batting practice, he can't even get it over home plate. So eventually you're like, well, shoot, I only get a set amount of balls thrown my way. I'm just going to reach out with my bat as far as I can and lightly tap one. So I at least got hit of one. I don't know that they necessarily got the best pitches because of, one, the Watson situation being what it was. Two, the Easterby specter looming over everything. I think he came into the situation and everyone...
Well, and O'Brien left you a gaping hole to fill, too.
That, too, right. I mean, hey, I got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. It seems like nobody's happy here. Last year, that situation, you weren't going to find somebody who wanted to come here. That was a very sexy hire.
And this is my biggest argument in that is, every single time I say, okay, you're taking a guy that's never been a coordinator, never had any head coaching experience. That's all fine that you said, but then you're not giving a guy 5 years at $22 million. You're giving a guy a two-year deal. You're giving a guy a prove-it, fix-it deal so that, you know what, while you're enduring it, he's enduring it. He's getting paid well enough, but you're not on the hook for all that money if it misses after a year.
If we're on the negotiating table, who's going to take that?
A guy that's never been a coordinator before.
I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know what, if Cal wants to get back in my good graces, start burning money. And if it means, hey, look, we're willing to move on from a guy who seems to be a pretty nice guy.
He's got a bonfire with $20 million in it right now based on what Cully didn't do.
I mean, listen, he's not a poor, right? I mean, it could be Mike Brown. It could be the Bengals. You could be in a much worse situation than that.
You know, $5K in the office for the video games. I mean, it's spendy these days if he wants to put his own tower in. here's my situation with that, though. You're telling me if I'm – and obviously he had a good agent. But if I take a guy that's been in the league for 18 years, never even been a coordinator, and I say, I'm going to give you a chance to be a head coach, but here's my parameters. It's going to be a two-year deal. We're going to pay a little bit more than even we wanted to pay you. It's not going to be what other coaches in the league are making. But, hey, at the end of the day, on your resume, you say you were the head coach in the NFL for a two-year deal. You got your opportunity. If you do the right things and say the right things and roll with the punches with us after 2 years, there's a chance you could still be around. Or we could Romeo Crennel you and just jam you up into the front office with a VP title. But if you don't do it right, it doesn't cost us where we're on the hook for 5 years.
I get what you're saying. From a business perspective, this is a smart way to go about it. That's how they should have gone about it. I bet Kelly would have accepted that.
However, I do think he would have.
However, they didn't. And I don't think this hurts them that much. I think they're fine. I think they're still rolling in cash that they can throw stupidly at people. I mean, what? The NFL, all these teams, what, as a profit, even during the pandemic, weren't they all making, I think, a $30 million profit?
Oh, with the TV deal alone and stuff like that. Right. It doesn't matter.
And no one was even going to the games last year. I think that was what the actual number was. So, I mean, with that in mind, it looks bad. It always looks bad with these guys. It always looks bad with these bozos. They never are going to get it right, it feels like. But at the very least, you know what? They got a very, very big Brinks truck behind them. As opposed to, you know, the Bengals with Mike Brown. I mean, that's a miracle that they are still playing in the AFC Championship game because that guy, like, charges players for Gatorade.
No question, right? Yeah, yeah. One of the cheapest owners in the history of sports. But here's the other thing that I go back to. I've had Travis Johnson on the shows before, and he used to do shows with me. I've had one of my best friends, Keenan McCardell, in over and over again. And the harsh reality for the listeners was the fact that money is the only thing that matters. Winning is just icing on the cake and an extra that happens every now and then or in certain good organizations for extended periods of time. But the only thing that these owners really care about at the end of the day is it's a cash cow and the freaking Guernsey is distributing milk on a daily basis.
Yep. Even if no one's coming to your games.
Yeah.
Even if the stadium is populated mostly with Titans fans at the season finale, which was depressing. It's just absolutely
And I saw that you were there and I know you went through it, but
I was heckling Ryan Tannehill the whole game. I was telling him like, hey, you're holding your team back. How's that feel? Your teammates don't respect you. Guess what? I was right.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We got a question for you guys we're going to get into after the break, and that is, are we arguing the wrong point about what happened in the Bills-Chiefs game this weekend? As great of a game as it was, and I've said it's probably the greatest game of our lifetime that we've witnessed because a lot of us weren't around to see the immaculate reception or the ice bowl or other things. But are we arguing about the wrong thing from that game? We'll talk about that as we continue to roll on the Killer Bees. Before we get to the break, I want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, they're the best in the business. They're right here in Houston. Corey's not only the owner of the company, Corey's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. You don't get those kind of accolades and titles unless you're trusted as someone that knows what they're doing in the business. That's what you want, not only on the Houston Roofing Association. You want it when you're getting a job done on your house because that's all that matters to you, whether it's a leaky roof, a roof repair on your business or your house, a new roof on either, or even home repairs or a fence in your yard. They're coming out to do a fence in my yard in the next couple of weeks, and you don't even know that they do those kind of things. But you need to, because the one thing that you do need to know is they do free, no obligation inspections. They cost you absolutely nothing to come out and tell you what they can do to help you with your problem. All you do is call them, 832-521-3001. They come to you, they tell you what they can do, they go on with the rest of their day. You want them to come back, you book the appointment, and you realize they're the best in the business throughout the process, starting and ending with customer service. But the warranty's the best, the product's the best, and also the rating's the best on all of the websites. They take care of you. Go to FITZRoofing.com and see all the ways that they can help you with anything you got going on when it involves your house. And tell them I sent you by because I'm telling you, Fitz Roofing's making a difference one home at a time.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, couple of things as we continue to roll on NFL conversations. Looks like the Ravens are nearing an extension with John Harbaugh. Hard to argue that, since the fact that he has done so much, and in a lot of people's belief, with so little in a lot of different ways. Interesting, he fired Wink Martindale, his longtime defensive coordinator, that is pretty highly regarded, but yet he's getting an extension.
Wasn't a great season for their defense. I know you could perhaps find metrics that would indicate otherwise, but that was not as fearsome a Baltimore defense as we've seen of late. The other news, Joel, this coming from both Nick Underhill, who is the Saints beat reporter for New Orleans .football, but also from Ian Rappaport, and worded differently, per Nick Underhill, Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, is retiring. Per Ian Rappaport, Sean Payton has informed the Saints that he's stepping away. What the difference is between those two, I don't know, but whoa.
I do. He's got a contract through 2024, 2025, so stepping away would be interesting. Like, are they going to come to a deal in terms where he doesn't have to say he retires and he could possibly move on to other pastures, say in Dallas or otherwise? Or is he going to fade into the sunset and just walk away?
Yeah.
And not coach?
Yeah. I wonder about that. The Saints are a mess right now as far as their cap situation.
Big, they have 61 million, I think, over the cap.
Jeez.
Packers had 42, and then the Saints just blow that out of the water at 61, and you don't have a quarterback.
Do you think he would come back to the Cowboys or
that's
something?
That's what we talked about yesterday. We actually kicked that around, was the fact that, look, you know, he was in Dallas with Parcells. I believe he got divorced, but his family's still in Dallas. He has a house in Dallas. He had been rumored to go there in the past. Would he go there with, instead of the cap hell you're talking about and no quarterback, would he go to Dallas where they underachieved with more talent on their roster than almost any other roster in the league?
Oh, Jerry is licking his lips right now,
yep,
creepily, as he is wont to do. And I don't blame him. I would be pretty thrilled about this because I feel like this means that there is an avenue open. What do? You pay the Saints under the table or something like that?
Well, so we talked about, you know, Gruden was traded for a couple of ones. You know, the coaches get traded for picks all the time. So if the Saints don't have they don't just say, hey, thanks for the memories and all you did for us and let him walk, that you could actually capitalize by getting some picks out of the deal. If he chooses to go to Dallas, Jerry wants him to go and is willing to, as the general manager, he can make the deal happen.
I wonder if things would be different had Jameis Winston played for the entirety of this season. Because it did feel like the Saints with Jameis Winston, and I don't think Jameis Winston's a great quarterback by any means, but there was a lot more juice with that Saints team when they had him versus Taysom Hill. Good God, I don't want to see him again. Some of the other quarterbacks, Trevor Siemian, that they were putting out there too. Had it been different with Jameis Winston all season long, they make the playoffs?
It's an interesting question because to my level of looking at that was, I feel about Taysom Hill the same way that I feel about Jalen Hurts. They belong in the NFL. They're talented. And as a Swiss Army knife, whether you put them in the slot or you put them in the backfield or you put them in the option, they have ways that they keep a defensive coordinator on their heels, and they have ways of being making plays. But as a starting quarterback in the NFL, I don't think either one of them are the guy. With Jameis, sure, you can look to the 30 interceptions, but you can also look to the 30 touchdowns and realize when he was good, and he just, and again, after a year of seasoning under Peyton and Breeze, if he learned anything at all, he has to realize all you got to do is manage the game and occasionally, you know, let your big arm out and you can win football games when you have a good team around you. Right. So, yeah, I think if you're Sean Payton, this is obviously intriguing.
Yeah. I just wonder though, if any other coaches are thinking about this right now. I mean, that's a coach that I would have not seen doing this. I could have seen Pete Carroll retiring, you know, having just been covering the Seahawks and especially with the way that this season went, that would be the way that they come to an end, because I don't think that they would want to fire Pete Carroll. But I wonder if this is it. But definitely a development that I did not see coming at all.
And let's take it a step further than that for people in the Houston area that really have lived this more than anybody. We saw a changing of the guard from a player perspective. It doesn't matter how long your deal is and for how much money, you can find a way out. James Harden did it. Deshaun Watson's trying to do it. Lots of guys on the roster this year, not the least of which would be Roby and Cunningham, found a way to get out, even though it didn't look like they could with the deals that they had. Who knew that the coaches could do it too? This could be something that sends a trend as well, that coaches, just like in college, a Lincoln Riley says, yeah, I understand everybody says, you know, you committed to me and I'm not going to be there. But you know what? Now with NIL and being able to leave early, they're just cashing in to take care of themselves. Don't be mad if a coach does it too. Now in the NFL, it could set the same kind of trend where I've got multiple years left on my deal at good money. But if I'm not happy here and there's something to be said about me going elsewhere, then I could force my way out too.
We saw it with Bill Parcells in 1996, and it doesn't hurt the other organization that bad because, as you mentioned, there's going to be some sort of compensation that would be going back their way. How much compensation would you give for Sean Payton?
I mean, look, he's one of the best offensive minds, regardless of the new generation under McVay and those and LaFleur. He's a guy that will always be known as innovative and a guy that is successful on the offensive side of the football. And I think that with that carries clout, and with clout carries money. I think that, you know, I think there's a market for him.
At least
I think,
one first.
I think at least a first. Yeah. I think he starts with a first.
Probably a second.
But when you look at past precedents and you look at what some of these guys got. Now, Herm Edwards was traded as well from the Jets to the Chiefs. So there's been, but the minimum is a first-round pick. But I believe in the Gruden situation, it was 2 ones and 2 twos.
2 ones and 2 twos, yes. And back when the Raiders and Bucks made that trade.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Gruden wins the Super Bowl against the Raiders the next year.
It was the Gruden Bowl, right?
Right. Yeah, which was pretty amusing.
You know, and by the way, my friend Keenan McCardle that I mentioned had 2 touchdowns in that game.
Yes, he did. Keenan McCardle with those Bucks teams.
Yeah. Can I pump the brakes just a little bit here on the Sean Payton love fest? Like, he's a good coach. But can I point out that if he's this great coach, you had a great coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback for how long? And ultimately what they accomplished, I mean...
Don't go there, though, Brandon, because Saints fans are going to come out of the woodwork at your ass.
Because
you know they got screwed more than once on calls.
Okay, how about the regular season? They went 7-9 3 years in a row with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. He's a good coach.
Hit him up.
He is a good coach. He is not an elite coach.
Keep going, Brendan. I like this. I actually like this because there is a thing with Sean Payton. I don't want to be spoken of here as being in that, whoa. I mean, I worship at the altar of Bill Belichick and everybody else is like, okay. I mean, he's a really good coach, no doubt about it. And as you said a moment ago, Joel, offensive mind, one of the best.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about what maybe wrinkle this throws into whatever's next for Russell Wilson, because I think Russell Wilson really wants to play for Sean Payton. But as far as what have you done for me, you're right. I mean, he was suspended a year by the league. Yeah, he got shafted on that. Yeah, they lost to Case Keenum in the Minneapolis Miracle. Yeah, the
Rams PI.
The Rams PI one, I mean.
It was PI.
Jared Goff was peeing his pants that whole first quarter. Like, you couldn't take advantage of that more. They should have been up like 30-0 at halftime in that game, and they didn't. They didn't take advantage of it. This also gets back into my thing with, like, Drew Brees, I think, gets elevated to the level of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady far too much. I think Drew Brees was, like, decidedly far behind those guys. So, I guess you can only get to a certain point when Drew Brees doesn't have an arm that really works the last 3 years. Like, the best three Saints teams that we saw were towards the end of his time with the Saints and, of course, with Sean Payton now out the door towards the last years of Sean Payton's career with the New Orleans Saints. So I'm with Brendan in that. I do think that sometimes his tires are pumped a little bit too much, but they should be taught. They should be pumped. They should be pumped, you know, not just all the way.
Here's what I'll also throw at you guys, right? And you can be as critical as you want of Sean Payton, and you can say he didn't get it done to the level that he could have. And a lot of people we talk about, they don't maximize their potential, right? They're good, not great, or they're great, but they're not, you know, all-time because they didn't get to the ultimate pinnacle. When you look at it from the perspective of a Cowboys fan, and you look at the fact that I've got this bumbling idiot that can't control the clock or decision-making.
Let's run a quarterback sneak with 14 seconds.
A 14-second quarterback sneak when I need it most. And I think about the fact that I could have Sean Payton instead, and I've been told, and I don't have to be a football savant to realize, I've got one of the best set of receivers in the league. I've got a quarterback that is in his prime. I've got 2 running backs, including one that led our team in rushing with a serious knee problem, but is paid obviously very well. And I've got an up-and-coming defense now, too. As much as we talked about it a day or two ago, hey, Dan Quinn's one of the 2 finalists for the Broncos job. You're going to lose him, and he was the reason why your defense went from rock bottom to highly respected. Now what are you going to do? If you get a Sean Payton, chances are you're going to get a lot more guys that are going to want to come there to help the defense and do things.
There is a evil side of me, Joel, that really wants to see Mr. That would be one, Kellen Moore, get the head coaching job in Dallas. I do want to see that happen. Doesn't it feel like that's going to happen too? And by the way,
well, he was the heir apparent until what happened at the end of the year.
Oh yes, no doubt about it. Cowboy fans hate him, and the guy's mouth is always wide open. Why? Close your mouth. Close it.
Wasn't he the? Didn't he have a look with the Texans and then bailed on him?
Is that a
when
surprise?
He was a quarterback? Yeah, no, but I mean, he was still, like, I remember coming out of college that, like, he was pretty highly regarded. A couple of the Boise State quarterbacks were. And then they just, obviously, they just didn't pan out in the NFL, and the system, maybe it was just, there's, you know, the elaborate systems and reading defenses were totally different much. Than under Chris Peterson at Boise.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's weird that he has risen to the level that he has risen.
I think that he was shot down quite a bit, a couple of notches, by what happened at the end of the season. And we talked about yesterday, think about how many guys in this cycle were highly regarded, and now all of a sudden they've taken hits. If you look at Bowles in Tampa, if you look at Kellen Moore in Dallas, if you look at, you know, in these games that happened this weekend and guys that were highly regarded that suddenly started tumbling down, it's amazing how quickly things can change in this league. And it's a Janet Jackson league. It's what have you done for me lately? And that lately could be in the last 13 seconds of a game in the case of Moore.
Right, 100%.
So other news across the league, if you haven't been following anything, it looks like the Bears have zeroed in on their general manager. They're finalizing a deal with the Chiefs Director of Player Personnel, Executive Director of Player Personnel, Ryan Poles. No jokes, please. As he then will be in charge of selecting a head coach. And as I tweeted out last night, the Bears supposedly have narrowed down their finalists to three candidates, including, Matt Eberflus?
That's not bad. The Colts defensive coordinator.
Texas fans
don't
have to worry because he didn't want to come here anyway, and he made that known.
He wants to come here.
I'm trying to look at. I tweeted it out last night. I found somewhere from someone in Chicago. They had the three finalists, and Eberflus was at the top of the list. But it's nothing that I didn't see any candidates where I thought, oh, the Texans are missing out there. What I do like is because it looks like the Broncos, who I said yesterday, Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers offensive coordinator, along with Dan Quinn, were the two finalists. At least we used deductive reasoning. They said they were down to two. Quinn got it. Mm-hmm. Then we heard that Nathaniel Hackett was heading back to Denver for an interview yesterday.
Right.
Last night, the report came out. Hackett's going to get the job.
Ah.
Now, I don't know if that's also a ploy to try and get Rodgers to go there, but there's another team. You know, now, check that team off the list and also check the Bears off the list. If you're a Texans fan, look, you're going to have more of your pick of the litter because there's going to be less jobs to be had.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.